Grace and peace to you, my friends. I am Betsy Turner. I'm the pastor of Stockbridge Presbyterian Church, and this message is for Sunday, May 10th, the fifth Sunday in Easter, and our ninth week of gathering in this way due to COVID-19. We continue to not gather in person for the health and safety of everyone involved, at least through the month of May, and I encourage you all to stay in and stay healthy during these days, and to continue with all the ways that you are staying faithful during this time. Your prayers, your staying in touch and checking on one another. The church does also depend on your staying generous in a financial way via our online giving at our website, spcusa.org, or you can mail those gifts in. We sincerely appreciate all those who are finding ways to be generous during this time. If you have ideas for other ways that we can be connecting, ways that I can be serving and supporting you, and other ways that we can continue to be the church during this time when we're apart, I encourage you to be in touch with me. I look forward to hearing from you. This week, I am thankful to my colleague, Reverend Stephanie Bishop, who joins us in worship today. She and I have arranged for a pulpit swap to give us each a much-needed week off of preaching. So last week, my sermon was shared with her congregation, Fairview Presbyterian Church in Lawrenceville, and this week she joins us as our guest preacher. Stephanie holds a bachelor's degree in English from the University of Georgia and a Master of Divinity degree from Columbia Theological Seminary. We met when she began her ordained ministry at Smyrna Presbyterian Church in Conyers when I was serving out past Covington. She has now relocated from the Athens area to the Kirkwood area of Atlanta, so that she can be more active in our presbytery. So now I get to serve with her on the New Church Development Commission and do things like this. Stephanie enjoys running and walking with her little dog, keeping up with friends and family, including her two children, and she hopes to explore more of the world when all is well again and it is safe to travel. Now, as we gather our hearts and our minds for worship, we will sing the simple chorus that we learned a few weeks ago. Come into God's presence singing Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Come into God's presence singing Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Now would you pray with me? Holy God, in the midst of a lot of chaos and confusion, much stress and anxiety, we come to worship you. Help us to quiet other voices in these moments so that we might hear you speaking to us. Bind us together across the distance that separates, through the gift of technology and by the power of your Holy Spirit, and grant your peace to our frantic minds, our weary bodies, and our restless spirits. Come, Spirit, come. And be with us. Amen. Our first scripture reading this day is from Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, my faithful God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant and save me in your steadfast love.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 7, verses 55 through 60. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him, and the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The lectionary is keeping us in Acts through the Easter season and culminating at Pentecost. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying reading these stories about the early founders of the church. Just to remind you, Reverend Betsy Turner read from Acts 2 for you last week and preached verses that told us what the early church's goals for community were. She noted that the text reads as if everything were rather perfect then, but that just knowing human nature and then having other accounts, especially in the epistles, we know that this sort of utopian way of life and community was not the lived reality of the time. So, she directed us, we should see this description as hopeful, a vision of the future, a way forward set out by God. In today's reading, we hear of the stoning of Stephen. You're likely familiar with this story, but possibly not the entire story. The lectionary skips, you might have noticed, from chapter 2 all the way to chapter 7, and we only get the very last details of Stephen's precious life here. A person's story should not begin with his or her death, so I think it's only appropriate that we backtrack. The fact is, Stephen's story begins with a crack in the community system. This society, as described in chapter 2, that shares everything and takes care of all, was no longer succeeding in those endeavors. To their credit, though, they realize their mistakes and they take measures to correct them. The problem was that some widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. The 12 disciples gather the community to problem solve. They have discerned that, as the 12 that they are, they should continue to focus on the preaching, and therefore other leaders are needed to step up to wait on tables, as they call it. As belittling as the task sounds to our modern day ears, I don't think they mean it as such. Later, they say to these men appointed to this task that they will do their part while they, the disciples, will devote themselves to prayer and serving the word. It seems to me this is Luke, the author's clever play on words. But back to Stephen. As you may have guessed or already known, he is called to be one of these seven. It seems Stephen is the forefather of all the deacons that have been or are to come in the church. He is one of the seven given the task of caring for others. Six others are called also, but it is only Stephen who is noted as being a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Now, I wonder, have any of you who are serving as a deacon or ever have you ever been martyred for taking care of someone in your community? I would guess not. And that also was not the case for Stephen. Little is said about Stephen's work helping to feed the widows. Indeed, what Luke offers us makes it difficult to know if he ever waited on tables, as the text tells us this. Stephen, full of grace and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. For this, he was arrested, and as he sat before the council who questioned him, his face was like the face of an angel. And with that note about Stephen's angelic appearance, we arrive at chapter 7, which from the beginning until the verses we read this morning is Stephen's speech to that council. Stephen's speech is by far longer than any Peter gave. It's even longer than any of Jesus' sermons or parable-telling conversations relayed to us. Stephen, who was chosen by his community to care for widows, is also capable of bearing witness about Jesus Christ, and bear witness he does. His witness begins with the story of Abraham and really encompasses the whole of the relationship between God and Israel. Even though his speech is a defense of Jesus Christ, Jesus is not mentioned until the very end when Stephen notes that he was betrayed and murdered. His point throughout is that there has been a pattern of infidelity to God from the beginning of time. Perhaps Stephen's last stand was a one-man effort to end that infidelity. If nothing else, he himself would not be a participant in it. Before we move on and dive into our text we have actually read for the day, let's recap for a moment what we know about Stephen. He was a good caretaker of others. Even though we hear little about this, we can assume he would not have been chosen for the task if it were not the case. The Holy Spirit was visibly seen in Stephen. His faith was evident, not only in action, but evidently in his appearance too, as his face shone like an angel. He was just as good an orator as he was a caretaker, and Stephen took his vocation very seriously. I'm not sure if you feel as if you've just listened to a eulogy, but I rather feel as I have preached one. I think it's always good and right and appropriate to pay respects for the life of one gone on. And so, as we move into talking about Stephen's death, I hope it has more meaning knowing these aspects about his life. Our lectionary omits the first verse of this stoning story, opting for giving us the heavenly vision that Stephen had. I have to say, I disapprove of leaving it out. It is the beginning of the end for Stephen. It reads, "When they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen." Now, in the short period of time that I have been at Fairview, the congregation here has come to know how much I love character studies. For those of you who are tuning in at Stockbridge Presbyterian with us this morning, I will just clue you in that as an English major, I love a good character study. And I pretty much gave you one of Stephen. Here at his ending, I think we find another character in the story. This one is not so worth celebrating or remembering, but acknowledge it we must, the angry mob. Sure, many characters make up a mob, but the nature of a mob is that it lives and breathes and moves as one being, and that is what has befallen Stephen. At the moment of our entering this story this morning, Stephen has just been confronted by what is now a mob, enraged and grinding their teeth. Stephen could have looked into the eyes of this mob. Perhaps he could have placated them. He could have changed his testimony. He could have backed down. Sometimes a mob ceases to exist when it gets what it wants. Who knows what would have happened here had Stephen just quit preaching about God's work through Jesus Christ, had quit implicating them in infidelity to God, quit standing his ground like someone who had an army behind him. But Stephen stood for Jesus. He didn't even look into the eyes of the mob. Nope. Stephen looked heavenward. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He may not have had an army behind him, but he had all he needed right in his sight. In the verses that follow, the angry mob descends upon Stephen. He was dragged across the ground. He was stoned. I don't like to imagine it, but when I do, I imagine that Stephen is looking heavenward the whole time, eyes still affixed on God and Jesus waiting there for him. If he had looked into the eyes of the mob, could he have prayed the way he did for them as they killed him? Maybe he could have. From our character study of him, he likely could have. But I like to imagine that his last earthly moments were spent looking at the glory of God. I find such dichotomies to digest and ponder in this brief passage. The mob is only interested in death, while Stephen focuses only on eternal life promised through Jesus Christ. Stephen has the opportunity to make a human choice, a choice to save his earthly life and placate the mob or stand his ground, be a martyr, and die to live eternally, gazing at the glory of God as he meets his human death. While we don't live under the same persecution as Stephen did in the days of the early Christian church, we do face the choice of joining with the angry mob or turning our eyes to Jesus on a regular basis. The regularity of this choice is a symptom of living in an empire. Stephen's whole point to the people so long ago was that God ruled the nations, not the Roman Empire. The people implicated and guilty of infidelity to God couldn't handle the truth of that. Can we? Can we be faithful to God? What does that mean in relation to this story? How can we emulate Stephen when we aren't faced with this same type of persecution? First of all, recognize your vocation, your calling by God to do God's work in the world. We all have one. Listen for the voice of God and even in others who encourage you to use your gifts. We can't all be caretakers like Stephen, but we all have talents to be put to use for the good of the kingdom. And then don't let your work just stop with your vocation, but like Stephen, be willing to bear witness. Bearing witness to what God has done in your life should flow naturally out of your acceptance and follow through of your vocation. Joining an angry mob is easy. Its collective voice is loud. Its loud voice is convincing. It can lure one in like a siren song. I believe, though, that following the steps of listening to God's call, that often come in little whispers inside our very own beings, following through in our vocations and bearing witness will stave off our inclination to join the mobs around us and keep us focused on the glory of God. So, if we are emulating Stephen and we are working with hope toward that vision of the future, the one that Reverend Betsy spoke of last week, the one that includes a way forward, working toward that radical idea of community described in Acts 2, then imagine this. Setting your eyes on the glory of God will look like charity and generosity and turning away from the lure of the angry mob to hoard and be selfish. Setting your eyes on the glory of God will look like inclusion and radical welcome of the stranger and turning away from the lure of the angry mob to exhibit racism, sexism, ageism, and more. Setting your eyes on the glory of God will look like empathy and acceptance of others and turning away from the lure of the angry mob to be judgmental and vengeful. Let us do more than imagine. Let us remember Stephen's last stand, how he stood for Jesus Christ even as he was stoned to death. We will not suffer in the physical way that Stephen was persecuted, but can we put ourselves to the test to live into our vocation and to set our eyes on what is good and right for the world rather than what is convenient and comfortable for us? At this time of pandemic in the world when so many are suffering, it is imperative that we as Christians strive even more so for that radical community ideal laid out for us by the early Christian church. Set your eyes on the glory of God, and it can be so. Amen.
Let us pray. We lift our eyes and look to your glory, O God, and we give you thanks for every sign of your glory and your grace, and every good gift which you bestow. Your lovely creation, the plenty we enjoy, our health and strength. We thank you for the gifts that come to us in human flesh, our families, our friends, our neighbors, especially those who we are missing during this time apart. On this Mother's Day Sunday, we thank you especially for the gifts that come in female flesh, for the women in our lives. We thank you for our mothers and grandmothers and aunts and sisters by birth, by marriage, adoption, fostering, or simply the women who are ours through the bonds of love and affection. We thank you for the many women who have shaped our lives and for their generous, fierce, tender gifts. We also lift up to you those for whom this day may be difficult. For those who long to be pregnant, who long to be a parent. For those who are pregnant and have to make hard decisions about that pregnancy. Those who have lost mothers or other important women in their lives. For those who have lost children. For those who are estranged from the one they love. For all who struggle with their own mother or mother figure, or with the memory or the absence of that person, especially those who have been hurt or neglected. And for all of us who are not able to celebrate or commemorate this day in the ways we would like. Eternal God, you have promised to love us to the end, like a mother who will not forsake her nursing child. Like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal home, you are faithful still, and we are grateful. Therefore, Mothering God, we pray to you, as we always do, but perhaps with particular urgency in these days, for the sick or the hurt and those who care for them, for the dying and those who grieve, especially those who do so alone, for the poor and those who are most vulnerable, for the anxious and those who feel most alone, for those in seats of power that they lead with wisdom, seeking the common good. And we pray for ourselves, that you would give us all we need for the facing of this day, this week, and this situation for as long as it may go on. Hear us now as we name in silence or out loud in our own spaces the particular ways we need your grace. Hear our prayers, O God, the ones we speak and all that we leave silent. In the name of the one who sits at your right hand in glory, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you now sing the doxology with me? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Friends, remember as you go about living in this world that Stephen didn't turn a blind eye. He looked away from the angry mob and toward the glory of God. So move forward with hope for a vision of a future world that looks like the kingdom Jesus Christ imagined for us. Keep your eyes wide open to the ways you can make that vision a reality and act in ways that bring that hoped-for reality to fruition. And now go in peace, knowing that the Lord our God has plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans for your hope and your future. Amen.